Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, I do not take lightly the message that you've given me, Lord. Father, use me right now to accomplish your will. That you might be glorified, Lord, and that hearts would be forever changed. To be transformed. Holy Spirit, speak through me, through my lips, Lord, that I might be a vessel of honor. Block out distractions. Block out the cares of the world, Lord. Encounter us right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Opening text, Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, folks. No reputation. He took on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man, he was found in the appearance of man, and he humbled himself, and he became obedient to the point of death, even death to the cross. Mark 8, 34 through 37, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Do people know that you are a Christian? Jesus said, if you won't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father. I was taken back as I was encountering somebody sharing about someone coming to the knowledge and the truth, yet it was hid under a bushel. It's not been shared with family. They haven't shared anything of what's transformed in their life. And so my question is, do you, when I heard that, I was taken back a little bit. And my question is, do people know whose you are? Do you share your testimony? Do you share the knowledge of the saving grace that saved you from the fires of hell? There are opportunities that we constantly come through in our life if we are seeking Him. We are not perfect. I understand that. There are times when we are caught up in ourself, and that's where you need to repent and turn back and say, Lord, use me today. I was on the plane, getting on the plane to go on vacation. And we had three seats. And Jen asked, could we, since there's an open seat, could we have the extra seat and just keep our son in the car seat? So as a result, there's three seats and three seats side by side. But as a result, we're not sitting in a row, the three of us together with Duffy on the lap. It's two and two, which means there's a new person sitting to my left. And I prayed. I said, Lord, use me. Use me to accomplish your will. Use me if I'm to share the gospel with somebody. And so I was sitting there, and Caitlin falls asleep. I have a little nap, and then I open up, and I pull out my magazine. I'm about to start reading it, and this woman sitting next to me, Jamie, is her name. And she's just sitting there, and she's just kind of talking a little, and I noticed the person who she brought with her, and she was a caretaker for this young girl who was fighting depression and had been cutting herself. And I thought at first it was her daughter. She's like, you know, I didn't mean to come off that way. I said, you know, that's definitely not my daughter. You know, I'm a caretaker, and I listened to her story. I just listened to her story, and I said, that's really great to be able to make a positive impact in a family's life, because she caretook for this entire family. There was like 8 kids in this family, and 4 out of the 8 had problems, which is very much the epidemic in America. The family life is just torn to shreds. And as we're progressing, we hit a little turbulence, and she loses it, and she is just overwhelmed with fear, and she's like, are we going to go down? And I said, it's okay. Do you know where you would be if we did go down? Do you know? It was a simple question, and it opened the door of opportunity. And I said, so do you believe in heaven and hell? And she was just kind of teeter and tottering. I believe in angels and demons. And she's like, but I'm a good person. And you've heard this before, the way the master, it was perfect. And Jen was listening. And I said, you're a good person. By what measure are you a good person? She said, you know, I've never killed anybody. And I'm a good person morally, you know? So I said, well, Jamie, have you ever told a lie? Yeah. What would that make you? I'm a liar. And I said, have you ever committed adultery? She said, no, I didn't commit no adulterer. I'm not an adulterer. You know, she just had a hard time kind of communicating. And I said, Jesus said, if you look upon a man with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. So what would that make you? An adulterer. Have you ever stolen something, anything? Oh, yes. What would that make you? A thief. And by your own admission, you're a lying, adultering thief. And on Judgment Day, if you were to stand, or if this plane was to go down, if you were to stand before a just God, a holy, just God, what would you be found? And she said, I'd be found guilty. And I said, you know what's awesome? You could know today. You could know today. Jesus Christ paid the price for you. Paid the price for you. He paid your fine to the judge if you accept him and you put your faith and trust in him today. And I'd like to tell you that at that very moment she accepted Jesus, but she didn't. She didn't. She said, I believe in a greater being. I just don't know about that. And I said, if you would search him, honestly, so if you would just ask God to reveal himself to you, he will reveal himself to you. I said, it's not by chance that I'm sitting next to you here today. It's like the man that was caught on the wayside, and it was like, and fate would have it that the Good Samaritan would come along the way, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not by fate, it's not by chance that I'm sitting here today to share with you. I say, if you would seek with your heart, just open, no pre-hidden agenda, ask God to reveal himself to you, he will reveal himself to you. And that means that if you believe in Christ Jesus, you put your faith and trust and you turn from your ways. Amen. And live for him, you can have an eternity in heaven. That was it. And I shared with her, and I invited her. I said, hey, I said, whether you ever see me again, I said, one, she lives in Bolingbrook. I said, come on, if you ever want to come visit, arms wide open. We're here to welcome you. Come visit. if you end up, she was talking about maybe moving. Said, if you end up moving somewhere, if what I've said to you and you've accepted, I said, the next most important thing is get into the Bible and find a good church that preaches the word. That was it. And that was our time together. But it was an opportunity to share the gospel. I don't know that she is now in God's hands, not mine. But I did what I was commanded to do, and I looked. There was an opportunity. I sought the Lord. I would like to say the rest of the trip that happened, it didn't. You know, I found myself wavering, actually. I had this really high moment, but then I kind of got caught up in the world on vacation. Caught up in those things. Not like I was doing bad things. I just was caught up in the moment. I wasn't seeking after him. And so I had a message for today on following. And I already kind of had this prepared. But suddenly, in the middle of the week, God spoke and said something different. And he was talking about a hardening of hearts. Because the time is drawing near, many will fall away. Scripture is true, and it's coming to life right before your eyes as time draws near. And this message is a message of warning. Ezekiel 33, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and to say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. Yes. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take the warning, if the sword come and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head.
That's right.
He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take the warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes the person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. I will not have blood on my hands. Amen. That's why I said this is not something I take lightly. The Lord spoke, and I am listening. I spent all day yesterday and throughout putting this sermon together by the Holy Spirit. This is a warning against a hardness of heart. And I want to share. God spoke, and I never got a chance to read this until after. And I kept going back to like Pharaoh and the hardening of heart and going, like, where are we going with this, Lord? And then I read this article. And it talks about the decay of the church in America. It talks about the decay of the church and how sin has crept in and how lawlessness has increased and how that which was good is now considered evil. It's just accepted, and the evil is accepted as good. It's just part of the times. I'm not going to read the entire article, but I am going to read certain parts. And it says, to whose voices? This is Marv Rosenthal who wrote this article. To whose voices do you listen? What drummers do you follow? What cadence is in sync with God's word? What translation of the Bible do you read? What church do you attend? What doctrines do you follow? What causes do you support? For what ministries do you pray? Every week I receive letters and calls from sincere Christians who are totally confused. God is not the author of confusion. Satan is. They hear so many conflicting claims that they do not know whom or what to believe. You don't take my word for it. You read and you study and you accept based on what the Lord speaks to you. Amen. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalm 11:3. In the challenging days ahead, 10,000 enticing voices are going to fight for your mind, your heart, and your possessions. They are going to stay. This is the way. Walk in it. What doors will you choose to enter? Will those doors be opened by God, or will the wicked one carefully camouflaged and going about as an angel of light, entice you to enter the doors leading to danger or even destruction. If there is one gift which will be needed amidst the coming confusion, it will be the gift of spiritual discernment. And it talks about the church in America that's become consumer driven. The preeminent responsibility is the preaching of the word of God, of the pastor. He is to enter the pulpit with a heart broken because of the great needs of his people, and aflame because he has been given through faithful study of God's word, truth they desperately need to hear. He is God's spokesman, ministering with God's authority, and he has been in God's presence, has been touched with the hot coals direct from the altar. He is not there to entertain, tickle ears, or give pious platitudes. Do you understand? That's what's today. It's I want to entice you, make you feel good about yourself. That's not our concern if you are a preacher preaching the word of God. I'm concerned about your heart, your condition, your heart condition. With a sense of humility mingled with the divine authority, he is to proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord." The congregation does not stand in judgment of the pastor's sermon. If he is a man sent from God, his sermon stands in judgment of the worshiper. It instructs, it encourages, it chastens, and is always in an atmosphere of genuine love. In Christ and his word, through Spirit's enablement, is found the sufficiency for all our needs. Amen. The basic concept today is programming, and that's what's supplanted the preaching of God's word. It's about who can get the biggest crowds, who can laugh the most. If they don't want to be taught, don't teach them. If they don't want biblical exposition, give them a show. If they want a 15-minute sermonette, give it to them. If they don't want to be told God is holy, human beings are sinful, and discipleship is costly, hell is real and dark days are coming, why upset them by telling them what they don't want to hear? The church can grow, they suspect, by simply using Madison Avenue advertising techniques and catering to what visitors in the pew want. You cannot mix the world with the word of God. Amen. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Better to minister to a dozen who mean business with God than to a great multitude whose chief occupation is determining the color of choir robes or whether the pews should be padded or some such matter. It is astounding. America is burning, and much of the church is fiddling around. They're not playing. It's not, they don't understand how real this is. You don't understand. Prophecy is getting revealed before our eyes. We are in what you're reading there. Read Matthew. Read those things. Read it for yourself. Amen. Test what is being said. Search for yourself when you read the headlines. As we approach the end of the age, the number of false religious teachers is going to increase. And in the Olivet Discourse, which describes events during the end of the age, the Lord alerts his followers with these words: "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." The false Christs and false prophets are going to be exceedingly impressive. They're empowered by Satan. They will do counterfeit miracles to authenticate their counterfeit message. In a most sobering statement indicated the gravity of the danger, the Lord warned, "Behold, I have told you before." One need not only turn on the radio or the television or surf the web a brief time to hear amidst the godly Bible teachers the growing crescendo of voices preaching a false gospel. Their number and persuasiveness will only increase. Deception will increase. In coming days, governments will promulgate godless laws. We're there, folks. While false religious teachers will direct hearts and minds towards the Antichrist. This will be the time when the wheat, not the tare, the wheat, the genuine believer will be distinguished from one another to the tare. True sons and daughters of the King will remain faithful to their sovereign Lord, even unto martyrdom if it is required. Professing so-called Christians who lack authenticity will quickly capitulate to the Antichrist. Faithfulness at that time requires faithfulness now. My father used to say, it's no easier. Today is the easiest day to serve the Lord, because tomorrow it's going to be harder and it's going to get harder. So you need to get in the word now. You need to get it entrenched in your hearts. You need to get it on fertile soil. You need to take out that stony heart. And that's the message that you're going to be hearing. If we are not genuine in our faith during today's relatively easy period of time to be a Christian, we certainly will not be faithful when the powers of hell in all of their fury are arrayed against us. If we do not learn discernment now, when the amateur false prophets are seeking to lead us astray, you can mark it down. We will not discern the professionals when they one day soon take the field. It references in 1933, the Jewish people in Germany were prospering as doctors, professors, and businessmen. They were good German citizens. They did not believe that Hitler and the Nazi regime could ever become what they did. Do not make the same mistake in America today. Difficult days are coming for Christians throughout the world. This is not to scare you. This is warning you. The timing is in God's hand, so grow strong now. Make a commitment to be faithful to your Lord now. Hide His words in your heart now. Bind yourself to a godly church now. Congregations now meeting in a large building may one day secretly meet in homes, and your very survival may depend on the fellow believers. Train your children to have courage in Christ now. Spiritual preparation now will prepare you for the days to come. I believe the cataclysmic events of the last days will be centered in the Middle East, specifically in the land of Israel. Certainly, the rise of Antichrist and his armies will have a significant impact on the entire world, but we do not know what the condition of America will be at that time, nor do we know the level of impact these events will have on our beloved country prior to our Lord's return. It is our responsibility before God to be a courageous witness for our Lord and to watch and prepare for end-time events as they arise. I do not write these words lightly or without careful and prayerful thought. They are not written to alarm. They are written to alert God's people of the coming storm, but with absolute confidence that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. To remain faithful to the one who is the true lover of our souls and who bought us with His own blood, and reject the Antichrist who will solicit us to prostitute ourselves, even unto martyrdom if necessary. This is the greatest of all privileges. May our sovereign Lord be pleased to grant us discernment for the difficult days ahead. Reading that, and the message God was saying was, harden hearts. Harden hearts. If your heart is hardened, you don't want to receive the chastening that comes with the correction of God's word. You don't want to receive and believe what you're seeing is coming unfold in scriptures. You're like an ostrich with your head in the sand. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 15. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Wow. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. You heard the parable of the sower and the seed. The seed that was cast on the wayside, right? the seed that was cast on the rocky soil. And it couldn't take root. And when the persecution, the trials came, it withered away and burned up in the heat. The thorny soil, because the cares of the world came away and snatched it. And then there's the ones that reach the fertile soil, and it takes root. And that's the focus you need to be on, is to be fertile soil. Ask God, search your heart. Where are you missing the mark? The author of Hebrews was concerned that his readers were being rocky soil because the Jews who had converted were under severe and intense persecution at this time. They were in danger of going back to the old ways, the comfortable life, because there's no persecution there.
That's right.
And so the author of Hebrews is using this story to make the same point. He is warning us against the soul-destroying sin of the hardness of heart. Sin creeps in, and it hardens your heart towards God. It hardens your heart. It hardens to accept a message. It hardens to get when you read the word and you start cherry picking what you want. And I'm going to equip you, not me, the Holy Spirit, to be prepared to avoid the hardness of heart in the coming days. There are going to be those who don't want to receive the true word of God. There are those who turn away from it and will go and find something else that tickles their ears to make them feel good about themselves. You understand? One, to avoid the hardness of heart, you must, we've been talking about surrender, you must surrender to God's authority through His Word. Through His Word. Remember, surrender is to submit to the power, authority, and control of another. So are you submitting to the control of the Word? Are you surrendering to the power of His Word in your lap? God is speaking through His Word. It is alive. We just covered that. 2 Peter 1:21, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work. You are thoroughly equipped by that book that is on your lap or your phone, if you're using your phone. I don't find it odd. I did not share with my young brother over here or Brother Ed what I was preaching on today. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful. It's living and it's powerful. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Anything that man can create as a weapon of destruction, the word of God is more powerful than that. It pierces to the division of your soul and spirit. It pierces you and of the joints and marrow, and it discerns your thoughts and intents of your heart. The word of God, when you reveal it, it sears you. Oh, wow. Wow. I missed that part. I missed that one. I missed that mark. Lord, I need to correct myself here. You know, please, Lord, show me where I'm in error. Show me where I need to be more loving. Show me where I need to show more grace. Show me where I need more forgiving. Show me to be more like you, Jesus. Amen. The starting point of avoiding the hardened heart is to recognize and surrender to God's authority through His Word. You cannot sit in judgment of the Word and cherry pick what you want to receive, and then other things discard, as if it's we're in a new day today. Times have changed. God does not change.
That's right, amen.
Many things, when you compare it to the world, seem outdated in relation to society today. Mm-hmm. Marriage itself. Yep. It's old-fashioned. That's what people will say. At the gala on Friday, I'm hearing about a Christian school and the difference that it makes versus, and I'm hearing these other parents tell me the testimony who had their kids in public school and just, you know, that the deception that's being taught there. These young people, and these people, half the people that I talk to aren't necessarily even going to church, and their kids are making a difference in their home. That's the power of God's word that's being spoken to these young children who hopefully will be able to lift the veil from their parents' eyes. It's all over. It's in the media. It's an attack. It's an attack on Christianity. Yes. If you don't understand that, you're deceived. Right. You're already falling in line. If you don't agree with the book that is in your lap and you find it in error, your heart is challenging and prideful to God. And as a result, you can be hardened. Your heart can be hardened. When you read this book, you read of stories of faith. We spent some of the time right there through studying about Abraham and Jacob. Stories of how our forefathers went before us in faith. And we see stories of error too, of the sins and the errors that they made. We just read that in Hebrews 3. Paul goes and expounds further in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 through 13. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. We all ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered into the wilderness. Now these things became our examples. These things became our examples. The stories that you read, they're real. They are true. They are examples to you and I of either what not to do or what to do. Amen. They became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents, nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. And I like it in the New Living Translation. It says, these things are written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. Amen. We're here, folks. Amen. Therefore, he transitions. Therefore, there's a warning. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There's pride there. Mm-hmm. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful. Not you. Mm-hmm. You can't overcome things on your own. Right. You cannot overcome the world on your own. You cannot overcome a sin on your own. Right. It's the power of Christ in you that does that. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with that same temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You can see the cares of the world and the deceitfulness and idolatry choke the word out from the people. We must examine ourselves daily to see whether our hearts are truly abiding with the Lord or abiding in ourselves and the world. What tree are you choosing from? What tree are you choosing to partake from? The tree of life? That tree of knowledge of good and evil? The heart condition is vital. It's vital for us, the Christian, to be steadfast till the end. That's You must be wary of your heart hardening, of his word and of his warnings, for us to be followers and doers of the word and to be like Jesus. Are we learning from his word and being changed and being transformed to be like Jesus? Or do we just approach Sunday like, I did it, I checked it off, and that's it? Are you spending time with him? Because if you're in relationship with someone, you spend time with them. That's part of the abiding process. It's funny, when you spend more time with someone, you start to become more like them. So my question is, if you're spending time in the world, what are you becoming more like? If this message is a little uneasy for you, that's good. That's good. Because your heart has not completely hardened. If it's uneasy and you're taking this to heart, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. There's still hope. If you are saying this isn't for me, be careful lest you fall. That's what Paul said. You see, God speaks directly to us today. He's speaking directly to us today with his word. Today, this time, this moment in history, it's created such a sense of urgency, hasn't it? It's an urgency to this message. It's an urgency to share with those who are lost. It's an urgency to share with your loved ones. Don't put your light under the bushel. Don't put your light under the bushel. Be the light on the hill. Let your light shine. Be salt. Create a thirst in others. Not of yourself, a thirst for him. It says, don't put off obedience. Surrender your life following Jesus. Don't wait for a more convenient time. Didn't we learn about that? We learned about that recently with the story that Jesus encountered. The one said, I'll follow you, Jesus. Foxes have holes. Birds have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Don't think I want that. Follow me. No, I'll follow you after I bury my dad, after he passes away, after I get my inheritance. I'll follow you, but at first I want to go home. Maybe my family will talk me out of it, or maybe I'll get my inheritance or pull a little money aside for myself to make the journey a little bit easier. Now, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Is God speaking to you today? Is God speaking to you today? Do you feel urgency right now? Do you feel it? Do you feel it for your family? Do you feel it for those who are lost? Your coworkers, your friends, the people you go have coffee with in the morning. Let your light shine, Tony, Ellie. If God's speaking to you, don't ignore him. You may not get another opportunity. Right. Seek his will with all of your heart. We'll probably pick up from here next week. Point number two is to avoid the hardness of heart. You must make sure your heart is in proper relationship to God, for sin begins in the heart. I want to spend more time on this next week, so I'm not going to expound yet. We'll spend more time next week on the hardness of heart. Do you understand? Do you understand the warning? This is not an easy message to prepare, and it doesn't maybe come off in the sense of love, but love sometimes comes in the form of chastening.
That's right. Amen.
How many of you are parents? When you had children and they wanted to stick their finger in the socket, whatever it is, you spank them, you chasten them because you love them. You can be an impact for your sphere of influence in no other way. You could be the very person to lead your family to Christ. You could be the one snatching brands from the fire for His glory.
Amen.
You could be the soldier of the cross that you've been called to be. You have to empty yourself. You have to surrender and submit to God's word and let God's word change you. Let it transform you. Jesus preached hellfire. He warned and warned. It's separation from God, folks. Hell is separation from God. It is not something to play around with. It's eternity we're talking about. This life is like if eternity was the end of this wall, this life is just like a finger. It's nothing in relation to eternity. Don't hold what you have within. You're commanded to love one another. If you love somebody, get over yourself and share the gospel. Amen? Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, I've spoken your word today. I will preach next week if you will it, Lord. The warning is going out. Let us prepare our hearts this week, Lord. Prepare the soil to receive what you have for us, Lord. Send someone our way, Lord Jesus. Send someone our way that we could be tested here, Lord, to put your words in action, to be a doer of your word, that we might have testimonies to share of your grace and your glory in action. Be with us as we go our separate ways, Lord, until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.